Thank you for that welcome, D. Good morning, New Beginning. Anybody in here need the Lord? That's what the maestro said. He said, people need the Lord. Felt like he was talking to me. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor to be here one more time. Not because it's New Beginning, not because you're here, but I just simply love being in the house of the Lord. I don't care which house it is. If the Lord is there, that's where I want to be. Today, I'm going to take two texts. I usually don't do that. But today, I'm going to use two scriptures. My first scripture is going to be Job 1 and 8. If you don't mind standing for the word of the Lord, would you be so kind if you're able? The first one is going to be Job 1 and 8. The second will be Acts 2:14. And I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to tie them together or I'm going to be all over the place. It's going to be one or the other. I'm going to start off with Job 1 and 8. And it reads, then the Lord said to Satan, God is talking to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? You can really put your name there if you want to. There is no one like him on earth. He is blameless and upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil. Now I'm going to jump over to Acts 2nd chapter, 14th verse. Acts 2:14. And it simply says, then Peter stood with the 11. I'm going to stop right there. Then Peter stood with the 11. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, just thanking you for another opportunity to come together collectively and worship you one more time, Lord. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning. Father, we do not take it for granted because we know there are so many others who are better than us that didn't make it today, Lord. So we thank you for showing us favor this day, Father, Lord. Now I ask that you sit me down as you stand up, hide me behind the cross, and preach your word to your people, Lord, so that souls will be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, just for a minute, I'm going to speak to you from a subject entitled, I think I'm going to ride this thing out and see how it ends. I think I'm going to ride it out and see how it ends. This morning is, if I seem a little discombobulated this morning, it's because I am. See, my sister-in-law is here today and her sister. Good morning, good to see you. We got a disturbing phone call this morning, my sister-in-law and I. Her brother-in-law, Keith is his name. He was following his wife to take her car to the shop yesterday evening, and she made it to the dealership, but he never made it to pick her up, and she had to call an Uber to get home. And Keith is, he has a reputation, unlike Job, he has a reputation that it wouldn't be the first time he didn't show up, so she didn't really know how to take it. So she probably took the attitude that most of us would have: if you ain't dead, I'm gonna kill you. So she calls an Uber and go home. But on the way home, she noticed that there is a horrible car accident. And as she got close, it looks like her husband's car. And when she got home, he wasn't there and he wasn't answering his phone. But that's not unlike Keith, because Keith is the type of guy to go to the store to get a pack of cigarettes and it take him 3 months to do it. So she got a little nervous because he is somewhat of a changed man now. So she thought she would give him the benefit of the doubt. And she called the police station and said, listen, down there on Lakewood Boulevard, there was an accident. And I can't find my husband. And it looked like it could be his car. It was the same color. Can you tell me anything? They said, we just can tell you that we had a fatality. So she called the hospitals and the hospital said, we do have a man around this age, around this height, this nationality who did not make it. We still don't have 100% proof that it's Keith because the police won't give us no information yet because he didn't have any identification on him. But all the stars lining up tells us that it is him. So I said that to say, if I seem a little off, that might be why. But also, it also reminds me of our life and how trouble just comes our way sometimes. You're not looking for it. You didn't do nothing to deserve it. It just shows up at your doorstep. Have you ever had an occurrence in your life where you just couldn't explain what was going on? You know, those precious periods in life where you can't quite articulate what it is you're going through. You know, those significant moments that causes change in your life, that causes you to question, where is God? Bishop Marvin Gaye said it like this. There's only three things that's for sure. Taxes, death, and trouble. And if my brother Marvin was here today, I would tell him, I feel what you're trying to say, Marvin, but you're a little off. Because my Bible tells me that there's only three things in this life that's guaranteed. That's birth, death, and trouble. Taxes are optional because all of us in here are guaranteed some type of trouble. Do I have anybody in here who can say that I've had my share of trouble? I've been through some unfortunate circumstances in my life that I just cannot explain. Trouble is so prevalent in this world that Jesus told his disciples that in this life, you will have trouble. Job said it this way, man born of a woman, a few days, help me preach this thing. And those days are full of trouble. B.B. King said it like this. Nobody loves me but my mama. And she could be lying too. My mama simply preached, just live. If life has taught us anything, it's that not every day will be full of sunshine. Because if you got sunshine in your life every day, that means you're living in the desert. But if you want some greenery and vegetation in your life, you're going to have to learn how to trust God in the rain. See, I know who Jesus is because he didn't show up when everything was good, but he showed up in my life when everything was messed up. God shows you who he really is in your time of trouble. That's why, brothers and sisters, we have to teach our children that life for me ain't been no crystal stair. I've had some headaches. I've had some rains. I've been through some hard times. I've been through hell and high water, but through it all, I've learned to trust God in the worst seasons of my life. And that's why I can stand here and say, I think I'm going to ride this thing out and see how it ends. Y'all know what I hate most about trouble? It's that trouble doesn't come with a pre-warning. You see, I could deal with trouble if it sent me a text message that said, I'm coming your way tomorrow. I could deal with trouble if it sent me an email that said, 2:00 Sunday morning, be ready. But trouble shows up unexpectedly. But I got good news for you, family. Trouble don't last always. In our text, there is a man in a town called Uz, and this man's name is Job. Now, the Bible introduces us to Job as being an upright man. The Bible describes his character as being perfect.
And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not perfect, because if I was perfect, I would know how to relate to people. If I was perfect, I would know how to praise God, because it's my imperfections that help me praise God. Because when I realize what God does for me that I can't do for myself, I'm admitting that I'm weak, and God gives me strength, and that gives me something to praise God for. Admitting that I'm not perfect helps me worship God, because worship is a result of a regulatory encounter with the divine nature of God. And there are some revelations you can't get from God until you are in an imperfect situation. Now, the greatest power we have is not in our perfection. The greatest power we have is to realize how messed up we were, but God gave us another chance. So, church, you better be careful how you judge people, because God is a God of another chance. God will call your name, slap his anointing on you, and use you for his glory. Is there anybody in here who can say, I'm not perfect, but I'm holy? I did some things I shouldn't have done. I went some places I shouldn't have gone, but God gave me another chance. And I came by here to tell somebody, if you've messed up, then he can use you. If you've made some mistakes, then he can use you. All the perfect people just sit there and be quiet and wait on the benediction. But for the rest of us who know we have some imperfections, it's time for you to apply for usage in the kingdom of God, because God can use you with your mess. God can use you in spite of your mess. God can use you through your mess. God can use you because of your mess, because sometimes God just wants to show the world what he can do with messy people. Now, this is a word for people who don't think God can use you because you're not perfect. This is a word today for people in here who have empowered the opinions of other people and allowed them to dictate your consciousness to the extent that even when you do come to church, you don't think you can do anything in the kingdom because there's something wrong in your life. This is a word today for someone who's dropped out of school and feel like they don't have the intelligence to work in the kingdom. This is the word today for someone who's been in jail, but God liberated you. Because God is a God of another chance. He'll bring you out of jail and make you a lawyer. He'll take you from being a high school dropout to you getting your PhD. He'll let you have a child before you marry and then allow that child to grow up and be somebody. He'll let you get on crack, get free, and then make you the drug counselor. He'll let you get divorced, get remarried, and then counsel folks who are single. How many of you can say, I thank you, God. I messed up, but I'm still standing. I did some things wrong, but I'm still standing. I went too far, but I'm still standing. In spite of my history, in spite of my mess, in spite of my bad choices, in spite of my decisions, in spite of my failures, I'm still standing. And the devil gets scared of people that he thought he knocked down, but they got back up and said, I think I'm going to ride this thing out and see how it ends. And the Bible says that God and the sons of God and the angels gathered together for a conversation. And in the midst of their conversation, the book says the devil shows up. Now, I'm going to pull a car over right there, but I'm going to leave it running. We're coming back to that. Job was so much of an upright man that the Bible says when his kids got out of line, Job would make a sacrifice for them. Because if you don't pray for your child, then the devil will pray on your child. And we are raising up a generation who knows Drake, but they don't know Jesus. We're raising up a generation who know who Cardi B is, but they don't know who Ruth is. We're raising up a generation who will get up at 6 a.m. for a 1 o'clock game, but can't get to church before the offering is taken up. And it is the responsibility of the parents and the church to raise up a child in a way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. See, now the Bible says that the devil shows up in the midst of God's conversation. And God said, "What you want?" And y'all know the story. The devil said, I've been going to and fro looking for who I can devour. And God said, well, if you need somebody, have you thought about my servant Job? Now, hold up, God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. I signed up for the blessings and the benefits. I signed up for the streets paved with gold. I signed up for the mansion. I signed up for my breakthrough. I didn't sign up for you to offer me up to the devil as a sacrifice. So God says to the devil, so God and the devil have this conversation, and God says, have you considered Job? He's a perfect and upright man. And the devil said, yeah, I considered him, but you have a hedge around him. And if you remove that hedge, I'll make him curse you to your face. Now, hold on one second, New Beginning. Can we just pause and praise God for the hedge? Don't you know that you didn't get here today because you're such a good driver? You didn't wake up this morning because you got one of them good alarm clocks? You didn't walk in here in good health because you were vegan? It's because God put a hedge around you. I got a hedge around me. He kept my enemies away. He let the sun shine through a cloudy day. He rocked me in the cradle of his arms. I thank God for the hedge. So many people followed their wife to the dealership yesterday and never returned home. Don't take that hedge for granted. It's not your money. It's not your education. The only reason that it was my brother-in-law, Keith, and not you is because God has a hedge around you. Now the Bible seems to suggest that God and Satan came up with some kind of treaty regarding Job. Y'all know the story. The devil attacked Job and he lost everything and everybody that ever meant anything to him. And Job had these three homeboys: Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And they reminded Job of everything he lost. And Job responded, "Naked I came in, and naked shall I leave." And then they said, well, Job, if you don't care about your camels and your oxen, your beamers and your Cadillac, what about your children, Job? The Lord took all 10 of your children. And Job responded, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." Then his friends said, "Look at you, Job. You got boils all over your body. You're skinny as a toothpick. You look like death warmed over. You got Alzheimer's. You can't dress yourself. You can't feed yourself. You don't remember so well, Job. Your pampers have to be changed by the person whose pampers you used to change. You've been a deacon all your life, Job. Now look at you." And Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Because the devil thought that Job's praise and worship was rooted in the things God gave him. See, family, that's why we got to be careful on what we build our hopes on. See, we have to be careful that we don't allow what God gave us to define us. We have to be careful to remind ourselves that when we got here, we didn't have nothing. You didn't always have a house on a hill. You didn't always drive a fancy car. You didn't always have your own business, but God has brought you from a mighty long way. And I don't know about you, but I got a case that I can't help it. I can't help but clap my hands. I can't help but praise the Lord. I can't help but say thank you for making a way. That's why Job said what he said, because Job couldn't help it. Because when he thought about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for him, he had to say, "Even though you took everything I had, I think I'm going to ride this thing out and see how it ends." Now, I don't know if y'all have seen the commercial or not, but there's a commercial with LeBron James, and Big LeBron is talking to Little LeBron, right. And Big LeBron is telling Little LeBron about the future, and Little LeBron is so excited. He's like, "You guys got self-driving cars and headless headphones." And LeBron's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, the future is crunk." He's like, but what about me? Is the hype, is it real, man? Is it real?" And LeBron says, "Well, I can't tell you everything. You're just going to have to ride this thing out and see how it ends." And little LeBron didn't ask no more questions. That's all he needed. And then he started singing and praising. "We going to the lead. We going to the lead. We go." See, family, sometimes you got to praise God even when you don't know how it's going to end. "I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't see my way out right now. But all I know is that I'm going to the lead. I'm going to the..." Okay. I'm almost done. We're going to cut through the field. I'm going to go to my second scripture. Now here in Acts 2. In the text, Peter is in the upper room standing with the 11. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, you will see that there are actually 120 people in the room. But the text says that Peter is standing with the 11. Now, my question is, well, where are the others? See, in my sanctified imagination, I'm told that they're still in the room, but Peter is only hanging out with the disciples, his brothers. Because there comes a season in your life where you have to separate yourself from people. Now, I know you hear this all the time, and they be like, "Girl, stay away from her. She ain't no good. Girl, stay away from him. He trifling." But sometimes you have to separate yourself from people who are good to you, who love you, because God didn't call them to go with you in this place in your season. So Peter is standing with the 11. And here's the part that threw me off. They know Peter messed up. He's already denied Jesus 3 times. He done cussed the little girl out. God bless her heart. He's already warmed his hand by the enemy's fire. As a matter of fact, Peter messed up so bad that he needed a special invitation just to be there. Because when Jesus rose, he told the women to go and get the disciples and Peter too. And the brothers knew how bad Peter had messed up. And here's the kicker. They still let him lead. Because they knew Peter got this thing. See, they was there. They knew Peter was a bad man. They were there when Jesus said, "Upon this rock, you Peter, I will build my church." And I said to myself, that couldn't be the black church. Couldn't be us. Because there are some elements of slavery that worked on black folks. I know y'all not gonna like this part. Because we have a crucifixion mentality when it comes to each other. We are quicker to celebrate each other's failures than we are each other's success. I got up here and I told you all that bad stuff about my brother-in-law, Keith. I didn't tell you how he turned his life around, how he prayed that monkey off his back, how he got it together, how he don't do what he used to do. I left all that out. I only talked about his failures because that's what we do. But when you know better, you do better. We have to stop. We have to see what Jesus see. We have to get past, that's not even in my mess. We got to get past the outside and start looking down on the inside of each other. We got to take up the spirit of Marvin Sapp and say, "He saw the best in me." Stop looking at what they did and start looking at who they are. Let me tell you something, family. Folks that gossip and celebrate your mistakes and look for your flaws, They are only manifesting their own dislike for themselves. While they are parading around as like they think they're better than you, in reality, they wish they were you. Because they hate the fact that you bounce back. They hate the fact that you chased your dreams and opened up your own business and they work a 9-to-5. They hate the fact that you went through bankruptcy, got your credit together, now you own your own home. They hate the fact that you were a teenage mother, went back to school, got your college degree, and your child is gifted. They hate the fact that you lost your job, but not your mind. They hate the fact that the pandemic didn't kill you, but made you stronger. They hate the fact that you are Black, act Black, stayed Black, but didn't get held back. Ladies, she hates the fact that you don't need a man to put a smile on your face, and she got 5 and still ain't happy. Fellas, he hates the fact that he ain't got a woman, you got one, he can't keep one, and the one he have want him to be more like you. I'm so tired of this mentality, this crab-like mentality that we have in our community, where we pull each other down instead of lift each other up. I'm so sick of it, I don't know what to do. And if I see one more of our people buy a Mercedes and don't have a garage to park it in, I'm gonna lose my mind. If you getting out of a BMW with a Birkin bag and you ain't got no life insurance, you are dysfunctional. But I got good news for you. If you're dysfunctional, then you're qualified. Because Peter has left us a blueprint on how life is supposed to be lived. Because he was anointed. And the anointing has nothing to do with your past or your history. That's why he can stand with the 11 and say, I know I messed up, but don't judge me because y'all messed up too. Every last one of us in here is messed up. That ought to be the theme of our church. The place where everybody's messed up. The place where everybody's dysfunctional. The place where everybody's made mistakes. Is there anyone in here who can say, I'm not perfect, but I'm holy. I'm not innocent, but I'm anointed. I don't go to church as much as I should, but God still has a purpose of my life. I dare you to find somebody you know some stuff about you and say, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm raising my hands. I'm praising God because God gave me another chance because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The text says Peter is standing with the 11. And I text Peter, messed up, jacked up, dysfunctional Peter. I text him. I said, Peter, how did you do it? After denying the Lord and all the stuff you did. And Peter said, well, Al, if you want to understand it, you got to go back to Luke 23:31. Now, this ain't in the text, but it's a part of the text. See, I once heard a man say, it's not what's in the line, it's what's in between the line. Where Jesus said in Luke 23:31, Simon, Simon, the devil has asked for you to sift you like wheat. Here's your shout, New Beginning. But I've prayed for you. Now notice that God offered Job up to the devil. But the devil had to ask for Peter. Jesus said, I've prayed for you. Do you know how you were able to bounce back from some of the most horrific things in your life? It's because Jesus was at the right hand of the Father making intercessions on your behalf. Have you ever wondered how you got out of some of the stuff that you got yourself into? It's because Jesus was praying for you. The book says the devil has asked to sift you, but I've prayed for you. And I can imagine Peter saying, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I ain't got to go through this sifting. I was worried about that. I don't want to be sifted. And Jesus said, oh, no, you misunderstood me, Peter. I'm not praying that you don't get sifted. because you need some sifting every now and again. It's the sifting that'll teach you how to pray. It's the sifting that'll teach you how to sing. It's the sifting that'll teach you how to raise your hands. Jesus said, I'm not praying that you don't get sifted. I'm praying that you don't lose your faith. So that when you return, not if you return, but when you return, you got to tell your neighbor, I'll be back. Because the text says, when I return, I'll be back. Jesus said, when you return, strengthen your brothers. Jesus told him, strengthen your brothers, because they're going to mess up just like you. But I've put something on the inside of you that will help them get it together when they cannot get it together for themselves. So all Peter was doing in this first verse of the chapter of Acts is taking up his assignment for when he returns back to the Lord. And Peter has an assignment he wanted to make, an announcement he wanted to make today. Some of you are got some trouble coming your way. But the good news is Jesus has already prayed for you. No, not that you don't have trouble, but that when you go through the trouble, that your faith will stand. And when you've done all to stand, take up the spirit of Peter and say, I think I'm going to ride this thing out and see how it ends. Is there anybody in here who can say, I have an assignment on my life, an assignment to encourage my brother, to encourage my sister? I got to tell somebody how God lifted me. I got to tell somebody how God healed me. I got to tell somebody how God picked me up, because you're all qualified to lift up spirits. How do you know you're qualified? Have you been to seminary? No. Do you have a PhD? No. You been licensed to preach? No. Then what makes us qualified, preacher? Because when you was down, he lifted you. When you were sick, he healed you. When you couldn't see your way out, he opened doors for you. When you were shedding tears, he dried your eyes. When trouble came your way, he gave you peace that passed all understanding. I don't know how any of you could be sitting there, because all of you are qualified. Down South qualified. Jim Crow qualified, segregation qualified, discrimination qualified, drinking out the wrong water fountain qualified. Somebody in here ought to scream, I'm qualified. What I've been through qualifies me. The hell I caught qualified me. The trouble I've seen qualified me. The struggle I faced qualified me. When you see where we were and see where we are, I can truly say that God has been good to me. Family, if you don't get anything else out of this, just know that God will take care of you. I said, God will take care of you. Those are the churches open. I'm done. I got a brother-in-law to go see about. I'm done. Those are the churches.